Yeah, I just wanted to go over quickly what we were doing last week, just to distill it down, because I think it's important. And you know, last week we were sort of developing it, and I just want to see if we can just encapsulate it. So last week we went to the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, that is parallels these this idea in Shemona Prakim about the Bechira of man. And the question about what man has control over and how does man have control over his own destiny in his decisions, if there are chazal that imply that everything man does is bidei shamayim. So Shmona Prakim Rambam gives a different, you know, gives an explanation that means to say that man has the capacity to act, and that's the design of God. And in that sense, we say when man stands and sits, everything is, so to speak, Ratzon Hashem, because that ability is the Ratzon Hashem. But in the Tilchos Tshuva, Rambam frames it as a question a little differently, and he says, "The Altisma V'Tomar, all right, don't wonder and ask, Heyach Yihye Adam Ose." Kol Masha Yachbots. Don't wonder and ask, how can a man do what he desires? Vi emais of Mesurin Lo. How is it possible for a person to do what he wants? V'chiyasa ba'olam dovash lo b'rushus kono u'belo cheftzo. Can a person do something in this world without the rushus of his creator and without his will? V'akasav omer, kol ashe chafes Hashem, osa b'shamayim of oretz. So here he says, everything that happens in the Bashamayim of Arts is Chafetz Hashem. There's nothing that God desires or wills that doesn't occur. And the opposite is implicit true too. That something that's connected Ratzon Hashem, connected Chafetz Hashem, can occur. So then how can we have free will? Either it's Ratzon Hashem, either it's the desire of God that this occur, or it's not. How could you do an Avera? So he says, no, the answer is, Shekol Bechefzo Yase, everything is done with God's will. The Afal Pishem Ma'asenu Mesurin Lanu, even though our actions are given to us. Ketzad, just like it's the will of the Creator, that fire and wind go rise, and water and earth descend, and the planets go around in their orbit, and everything else goes according to its nature, kim minhag shechafetz bo, in the way that God desired in them, kocha chafetz lios ha'adam reshuso biyado. So too it's his will that man's dominion is his own. V'chol ma'asav mesurin lo. And all of his actions are his. V'lo yielo lo kofe, v'lo moshech, elohu me'atzma v'dayto sh'nosan lo hakel, ose kol sh'odam yochol lasos. That is the will of God. That is Masha Chofetz Bo. What is his desire in man? His desire in man is that he should be a creature who perceives good and bad from himself, like he explained in the beginning. Hein Adam ke'echad, mimenu, right? Lodas Tovra, another uncleus over there. That man is unique, that he knows from within himself. From within himself, he can see the value systems. He can see what's right and what's wrong. And he can pursue the course of action that he deems proper and fit. And nothing else in this creation is like that. An animal never contemplates what's a good thing to do or a bad thing to do. It's not a, there's no, it's just implanted in his nature. His actions are not mesurin lo in that sense. Only man has that capacity. Lefikach, we'll get back to Harry's question, though. Donin oso lefi ma'asov. Therefore he judges him according to his actions. Im osa tova meitivin lo. Im osa ro meirin lo. Okay, so he says, "V'hu shehanavi omer miyedchem ha'yisazos lochem." This is your own doing. Gam hema bochru b'darkeyim. Ubiin zomer shlomo. Okay, so anyway, so that says, and that justifies the idea of schar v'onesh, and that a person deserves what he gets. And he similarly says, like we said last week also, in the Shmona Prakim, he says it a little differently. He says, since man's actions are given to himself, it's necessary that he have some way, something that is directing him and teaching him and leading him and nudging him along the right way and preventing him from harming himself. Okay, and that's his the Alpi Inyan Zeh. Yeah, he says V'al Yomar. Yeah, and he should be misrachik from Pulos Hara, and he should take the Torah as a guide, so to speak. Okay, but the question still is, what do we mean by saying that? But isn't it still, in a certain sense, this is what we were talking about last week, can't you still say it's the will of God that man should be good? V'charta v'chayim? So how is he really getting out of the problem? I mean, ultimately, it seems it is part of the Ratzon Hashem that man should perfect himself. So how could that not occur? And how is it even possible? It becomes an impossibility. That what? God wants you to have the own choice and to make the right choice. Well, and if you don't make the right choice, does that mean it's against the will of God? Well, then how could it occur? Right? So we were just discussing that a little bit last week. So it's interesting. If you take a look in the last Mishnah in Makos, for instance. So there's a very nice statement over there of Hananya. Is it? Rabbi Hananya ben Akashi Omer. Rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lizko says Israel. God wanted to merit, to give a merit to Klal Yisrael. Lefikach hirbo len Torah mitzvah shenemar. Hashem chofetz l'man tzidko, yagdil tor v'yadir. So what does that mean? So the Rambam says, miyesodos ha'amuna b'torah, shim kayim ha'odam mitzvah, misholosh rei, v'sheish miyos mitzvos, karoi u'kahogan, v'lo shotaf ima matar mimatar zol mazeh klal. So if a person does one of the mitzvos with a pure intent, a pure goal, the Shema basically, Me'avo, hareiz hu zoche bo l'chai olam abo. L'kach, omer Rabbi Hananya, ki machmas ribuy ha-mitzvos I efshe shalo yase ha-odom achas b'chol yimei chaya b'shlemos v'yizke l'hashoras ha-nefesh b'oso ha-maiso. So Rabbi Hananya ben Akashio was saying that, and we've discussed this many times before, that since there are of all the mitzvos that that there are, there's going to have to be in every person's life good chance that he'll be able to do one without any ulterior motive. Depending on, there's so many different types of mitzvos that you know, all different types of people. You know, people have certain emotions, and generally you know, certain types of activities they can't do freely, but there's going to be something that's in line with, it's going to slip through the cracks of their emotions, and they're going to deal with rationally based on who they are, based on the certain circumstance, once or twice in their life. They're going to be in line with reality if they're giving so many opportunities in so many different fields and so many different types of situations. But the point that I wanted to make out of here is, what does it say about the Chofetz Hashem? What does it say about the Ratzon Hashem? So this is what we were discussing last week. We were saying that when the Rambam is discussing the idea of the will of God and the Ratzon Hashem, and nothing can exist in the world that's not Birshuso B'cheftzo, we were saying that what he means, that that's a reference to existence, that we say that the creation, the act of creation, is preceded by, in the Derech Moshel, a rotzon, or a desire, or a will. And the Rambam is very adamant about that in the Mora, that there has to be an idea of rotzon that's associated, and not the force. And he tries to resolve certain big philosophical problems of creation from nothing, like why did it occur then, and all those types of things. Why wasn't it the certain problems that Aristotle raises on the idea that change and things like that. So we were saying that the will of God is related to existence, and that was his question. His question is that how can you, there's a reality to what you do, just like actions are expression of the existence of man, just like an animal's actions are expression of his existence. How could our actions exist, so to speak, if it's not the will of God? How would that be possible? So we're saying that the Ratzon Hashem is in terms of the nature of man's existence. Just like the Ratzon Hashem is in terms of the nature of fire, that it should have a certain force in an upward direction, and the nature of physical of earth, of dirt, and other objects are that they attract each other through gravity and pull down to the center of the earth, and all of those properties in the animal kingdom, those are all teva, they're all mutba, they're all fixed in their nature. That's part of the Ratzon Hashem, that they should have those characteristics of the physical law. So too, it's the Ratzon Hashem that man should be a unique creature who can perceive, who's combined from the physical and the Tzelem Elokim, and perceives from his own vantage point and from his own mind and from his own source of reality what is truth. Now, but we have to differentiate between the Ratzon Hashem in the creation and in the existence of man and the tachlis of that existence. Okay? It doesn't mean, and that's what we were discussing last week, so therefore, every man who chooses what his own destiny is living according to the Ratzon Hashem, because all the Ratzon Hashem is that he should exist with a way that he can choose what he wants to do. So why is one person good and one person bad? Everybody is just existing in the Ratzon Hashem. So that's what we said. That's what we were saying last week. You have to differentiate between the Ratzon Hashem in the type of existence that we're talking about, right? And then the tachlis of that existence. In other words, we can still say that if you analyze the creature of man, there is a perfection of that individual. There's a perfection of that species. There's a perfection of that bria. And the perfection of that bria, is in terms of its ability to develop and actualize the unique component of its das and its seichel and its perception of truth. So, in that sense, all choices a person make are not equal, because some of them are going to, so to speak, bring that tachlis to fruition, and others are going to prevent that from coming about. And that's what we said, that in the Rashba, he has that many times, that's how Chazal say that if a person is Mekayim Mitzvos, Mekayim Torah, it's like he's a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bracious, in a certain sense, because he is actualizing and completing the existence, the creation of man. Because in terms of God's Ratzon of creation, the Ratzon of creation has to relate to the species, to man with his faculties. But the fully developed man is only in the person's own hands. And the Ratzon Hashem is that there should be this nature of man that has the capacity to perfect himself and has the capacity to develop his seichel into the full tzura of Adam. And that's what we're saying, that the Rashba speaks about many times, that therefore we have to have, therefore we don't have, God doesn't relate to us in a strict sense of din, because then if we were not actually perfected, we would cease to exist. And we're also not, God also doesn't treat us with full rachamim, because then we would never reach perfection. So what we're saying is the Ratzon Hashem is insofar as man exists with the capacity to perfect himself. Because the existence of man without the ability to develop the tachlis would be that would be keneged Ratzon Hashem. And that's like the state of the of humanity at the time of the Mabul. They didn't deserve any further to exist like that would be keneged Ratzon Hashem, and therefore they had to cease, because that was a society that had the capacity to choose, but apparently lacked the capacity to achieve perfection, since they had degenerated to such a degree. And that's what this Mishnah means. It's the will of God. What is the expression over here of Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lizakos es Yisrael? The Ratzon Hashem the Ratzon Hashem doesn't say in terms of the perfection. The Ratzon Hashem is in terms of giving people more ability to reach perfection. You understand? The Ratzon Hashem is expressed in assisting and in giving a zechus to allow a person to perfect himself. And that's what the Ratzon Hashem is expressed in. It's expressed in a combination. The type of creature with the ability to achieve the tachlis. So when we're talking about the Ratzon Hashem over here, we're not saying it's the Ratzon, the Mishnah is not saying it's the Ratzon Hashem for the man to be perfected, because then that would be the problem of choice. It means to say the Ratzon Hashem is expressed, can be seen in the giving of the Torah. How does the giving of the Torah express Ratzon Hashem? Because it shows that man is a creature that has his own choice, but also has a certain path to self-perfection, which is the tachlis of that creation. So God's Ratzon is expressed in the type of creature with the capacity and the ability to improve himself. So the giving of the Torah is also an expression of that Ratzon Hashem. It's not an expression of the creation, but it's an expression of allowing, the giving the person the opportunity to perfect himself. Because if man were to exist in a state that he could not reach perfection because of his distance from reality, his existence would be unjustified. And that would be keneged Ratzon Hashem, and existence would have to cease. So giving of the Torah is an expression of Ratzon Hashem. Because without it, it would be possible for man to reach a point where, like the Noach state, where they descend so far into the animalistic that they can't pull themselves out of it. And that existence would be keneged Ratzon Hashem. That would be impossible. That, to turn man into just another animal species without a chance of survival, without a chance of perfection, would be contrary to the Ratzon Hashem in the existence of Adam. It's similar to, reminds me a little bit of, like the Ran, I believe the Ran says, by Dor HaFlaga. He says, what was their chait? It doesn't say in the Torah they did anything wrong. Not really. Not really clear they did anything wrong over there. And not really even clear what the onesh was. They got dispersed, I mean. So I think his point was, it wasn't really a chait, but the way they were existing in that unified way wouldn't allow for them to achieve a perfection. It wouldn't allow them to develop into Chachma because they had become enamored with their own technology and they had developed methods of controlling people. So he once learned the Tower was not like they teach you in when you're a kid, you know. Not like they were going up to Shemayim with a sword. But it was a method of controlling the people. That the idea was, if you want, and this is a very prevalent idea in dictators. What does a dictator always do? He wants his presence to be everywhere. Chairman Mao, pictures of him everywhere. You want to always have the Emas HaMelech on the subjects. So their idea was if they could build this huge tower, be visible from all over the place, people would always feel the oppression of the ruler. So that was what they were, that's what he says they were trying to achieve with that. But the point is that the people of Babel. The rulers, who was it? Nimrod and those guys, you know. So the point is, though, that that shows the intervention and the dispersion is because to stay in that state would be Keneged Ratzon Hashem, so in the way we're saying it. It would be impossible. It would not be allowed. It couldn't continue to exist. Because that would turn the humanity into a creature that has bechira, but not a path to perfection. And the Ratzon Hashem is expressed in those two facets: the nature of the existence with the possibility of the self perfection. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah. Okay. So let's take up the next part of here. What are we up to here? Now we're up to the questions on Bechira. Okay, so the Ram says we have one more thing left to explain. And that is there are some psukim that shemidamim b'em b'nei Adam, that some people think or imagine Shashem goes there ala meri vishehu machriach bohem. So there are certain psukim in the Torah that people take them to mean that God is forcing individuals or groups to rebel. So that's be a serious problem of Bechira. V'dover zeh batli, says this is false. It's empty. It's null. So we have to explain this because a lot of people argued and talked about it. Some said, one of these places that people misinterpret is Omru l'Avram, Omru l'Avram, Hashem says to Avram, Reva Vodum v'inu osam. Yeah. So he says the Mitzrim will enslave the Jews and they'll oppress them. Okay. Kvar gozer ala Mitzrim. Lohar lezer Avram. So that's it. God said it right then. God promised to Avram, these guys will enslave your children. So what choice do they have? Madua ha'nisham v'heimuchrochem al kol ponim l'shabedam. Moshe Gozar, did they have to do it? Why are they getting punished? V'tshuva she'la zu. So the answer to this question is, it's very interesting to compare what he says over here to compare what he says in the ad. So here he says like this: She'zed dome kimo ilu omar yisaleh. It's similar to as if God had said that in the future there will be rebellious people and observant people, obedient. There will be rebellious people and obedient people. There will be tzaddikim and rishoyim, and this is true. V'lo b'dover ze yischaya plonia rosha sheyia rosh al kalpanim. Just because if Hashem were have to say that in the future there will be tzaddikim and rishoyim, you can't say that that forces a person to be a rasha. Ela kol mi shehoya mehem rasha. Whoever decides to be a Rasha, that's his own choice. If he had chosen to be a tzaddik, he could have been a tzaddik. The chain called tzaddik, so too could have been a Rasha. This is where things get a little strange. He says, because the hodah does not come on every individual. He didn't say, Reuven ben Yosef is going to be a Rasha. He said, there will be Rashayim, there will be Tzadikim. If it were on an individual, that would be Nigzar Alai. Then the person would say, Nigzar Alai. Elaboa Bistam. Vinishar kol Adam, Biratzono, Kifi Iker, Haofi Hativi. Each person is free in his nature. Vikach Omar Echad. Vechad Mea. Vikach. So to hear. Every single individual mitzri that was bad to a Jew, if that individual wanted to be good, he could have been. He had the choice. Why? Lefi shelo gozar al adam misuyam lehora. He wasn't gozer on any individual. Now this is where the Rambam is frustrating. This is where the Rambam becomes frustrating. You would want him just to say there was no gzera at all. Why does he keep saying he wasn't gozer on any individual? Does he mean he wasn't gozer at all? And he's just saying the extreme, he wasn't gozer on any individual? Or is he simply saying, like Kafach once said, he's just saying the way of the world. The way of the world is, I know that in this situation, this is what will happen. Let's go a little further. He says, V'tshuva zu atzma, hi atshuva ba'omro, hinecha shochei im avosecha, v'koma omazeh v'zona acharei Elohei necha ha'aretz. It's no different than when Hashem says to Moshe, you're going to die, and this nation is going to go after Avodah Zarah. Ki ein hevdel bein zeh ubein omro, shekol ha'ovid Avodah Zarah nasa bo kach v'kach. Yeah. And there's no difference between that and saying, whoever does Avodah Zarah, such and such will happen to him. L'fi she'ilu lo ha'yasham li'olam, Misha Yavor al kol hayumim levato. Misha Yavor, hayu kol hayumim levato. So, in other words, would you say that if the Torah says if someone worships Avodah Zarah, he should be killed? Well, now look, if nobody ever worships Avodah Zarah, then that mitzvah is levato. So, does that mean to say if the Torah says here's the onesh for someone who worships Avodah Zarah, it means there's a gezerah that somebody has to worship Avodah Zarah? That sounds a little more like it's just informative. V'hayukol ha'klolos kulon levatola v'kach kol ha'onshim shebetorah v'lo beglal metzias din haskila betorah nomar shezeh shechilas ha'shabes muchrach l'chalo. No one's going to say because it says in the Torah the skila for violating Shabbos, so the guy who violates Shabbos was forced to do it. V'lom b'mitzias haklolos nemar she'osom asher avdu avodah zarah v'chilu b'hem osom haklolos nigzer aleim lo'avdo ela b'ritzono avad v'chol mi she'avad v'chol alav ha'onash gam hema bocharu b'darkeim gam ani evchar. Okay, that's the pasuk that he quotes in the Yad also, right? So the Ravid famously has a big critique on the Rambam over here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, he says, so which Mitri is the one who the Gezerah was on? The one who didn't enslave the Jews? That's his little... But the question is, does he mean his Gezerah at all? Yeah. Yadi says it also like this. He says, let's just see how he says it. Umaze, I'm sorry, in Perek Vav, Halacha Hey. He says, "Hallo kosa b'torah va'avodim v'inu osam, harei gozrala mitzrim lasos ro, v'kosov, v'kom ha'amazev, v'zana lo acharei olay necha'aretz, harei gozrala yisro, la'avod v'ozor, v'loma nifra mayhem." Same basic question. He says, "V'fi shalo gozral ish ploni hayadua, sheyehehu ha'zona." Doesn't say, this guy will be the one who goes after Avodah Zarah. Ela kol echad ve'echad me'oso azonim she'avdu Avodah Zarah ilu lo rata lavod lo hoya ovid. V'lo, and this is the key, he says, v'lo hodia habore ela min hago shalolam. Interesting. God just told Moshe the way of the world. That's just the way it is. Certain people are going to go off. V'lo hodia habore ela min hago shalolam ha'lomo zeh dome. Laomer ha'amazeh yieh bohem tzadikim rishayim. He has the same argument. Lo mipnei zeh yomar rasha kvar nigzar olav sheyieh rasha. Mipnei shehodiyah kvar shbaruch lemoshe sheyieh rishayim b'Yisrael. Kinyin shenemar ki lo yechtal evyon mikarev haaretz. V'chein ha'mitzrim. Kol echad ve'echad ma'osan ha'matzirim v'ha'mariyim li'Yisrael. Ilu lo rotza lo'ara lehem arshus b'yado. Shelo gozar al ish yadua. Ela hodio shesof zaro lishtabed be'eretz lo lehem. Now this is the one thing that drives the rabbi crazy. The last line: Ukva armarnu she'in koach ba'adam leida heyach yeda hakadosh baruch hu dvarim ha'asidim lios. That drives the rabbi crazy. Why does he have that last line there? It like contradicts everything he said up to that point. Because first he's saying, he says minhag olam. God's just telling him, minhag olam. And now he's saying, and we already said we don't know how God knows things in the future.
Man can't know.
Man can't know how God knows things. But what does that have to do with his argument of minhag olam? See, the Ravid says, Amar Avram, Elu heim arichus dvarim she'en mituvolim, v'chaye roshi kemat shani omer she'en divrei naras. Yomar haborei lezonim, lomo zonisa, v'ani lo hizkarticha b'shem. So what's the, what he says, God is going to say to these people, why did you go off the derech? I didn't mention you by name. Kidei she'tomar she'olecha garzarti. I didn't say you should do this. So the Zonim will say to God, so who did you mean? The guy who was a tzaddik? He must have met me. Who else could you have met? Of Alkom Omazeh, he says, Al Michola Gzerosecha, Al Osam Shalo Zonu, Hine Lonis Kaima Gzerosecha. See, he's interpreting the Rambam to try to find like this middle ground, like it's a gzeira on the group, like you were saying, like a gzeira on the group, but no individual in that group has to do it. So he's saying that's naris. What do you mean it's a gzeira on the group, but no individual has to do it? So then, where's the key in my gzeira? Someone has to fulfill it. But the question is that what the Rambam really means? Or is he really saying, or is he just saying something? See, he doesn't use the terminology of minhag olam in Shmurim Bagim, but here it seems pretty clear, right? But then why does he have to say that in the end? Yeah, so the Rambam has a few answers. But one of his answers is if they would have just done a little bit, they wouldn't have gotten an onesh. The onus is they did more than they were supposed to. They were supposed to do a little bit. When the Rambam mentions in the end that we already mentioned that we don't know how God knows things, that was a question he ended off the prior paragraph with. He never mentions that question over here in Shmurim Bagim.
He mentions that answer.
That was reading from the Yad.
Oh.
That was from the Yad. Okay. Yeah, in the Yad he mentions that. And the Rebbe is not happy about that. I'm bringing that question up either in the end of Parakeh.
That's why I think it's appropriate that he brings it there. He's saying just the knowledge is not, the fact that God knows alter the decisions that they made. And
right, but if it's just that God knows what they're going to do, so then you don't need any answers. And then you just say, he's just telling you, he just knows what he's going to do. He just knows, he's just telling him, he knows what's going to happen. It's not Minhag HaShaolim he's talking about, he's just talking about a fact that he foresees. So it was like funny that Ram throws it in the end. Like that's not... That's like a totally different type of an answer. See, I think the Rambam is talking about over here also like a different thing. I think he's saying that even Minhago Shel Olam, in other words, if it means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Abraham, I'm going to contrive a situation that will necessarily bring about the evil in these people, evil actions on their part. So it's basically like what you call in American law like entrapment. You know, it's like he is putting them in a situation that he knows will force them, will cause them to act in a way that is wrong. So in a certain sense, you can say God knows man, he knows how they're going to behave, he knows what kind of a problems they have, and it's if he can say that this is going to happen, so it's like he's saying this is something that they can't overcome. So isn't that pretty much like forcing them into this behavior? Forcing them into this kind of a behavior? No, I think that's his question, really. That putting them, given the political factors of a powerful nation trying to protect its position and a group of very talented, powerful people coming in, illegal immigrants, you might call them. It's going to naturally raise some nationalistic feelings, and it's almost like impossible that these things won't occur.
Let's make Egypt great again.
So is that like a gzeira? Is that like a gzeira on this that they are? That they must. Plus, he's banking on it in a certain sense. He's telling Avram, "This has to happen, and I'm going to cause these events to occur." So to that he's saying, see, that's why he's saying it's like when God says to Moshe, or it's like when it says in the Torah, "Here are the onshim." It's not the same thing, because there really is some element of gezeira in the mitzvah. Yeah, that what?
In other words, that he put them in a situation.
Right. It's like the cards are stacked against him, but no individual had his choice removed, and each individual could have. That's the next question. Power is the next question. But
isn't that the same thing like the Nazis?
No, it's true. Even with the Nazis, there were people who helped the Jews.
The whole culture anti-Jewish.
That's right. So that's why he's saying it's like when Hashem says to Moshe, there will be sinners in the future. Or it's like when the Torah gives onshim for these things. So those are clearly just minhag HaShaolam, but there's no maisa of conspiring to create situations. You wouldn't say that that he's just trying to... that's what he's saying, it's similar. But there is some element by the mitzvah of forcing the situation, but he's saying it wasn't forcing any one individual into some kind of a choice that he had to make. That would be different. That would be different. To say that this one individual is going to have to do something, and therefore God will force his way, force him to the point where he has to choose this, that would be like some kind of a gzera ahead of time, for a conclusion.
By the way, you have a befarish example of a mentory there.
Example, right. Paro's daughter. That's good. She had a sympathy for the Jews. Oh, that's good. That's right. Okay. Yeah. So that's what that's the answer here. I think that's the interpretation of that. So then the last question is Paro. Okay. So he says, but when it says v'chazakti l'leif Paro, and then he was punished and destroyed, that is a place sheyesh ledaber bo v'yusag bo yisod go. So that's an opportunity to discuss and arrive at a very great yisod, a fundamental. Ulekach hisbonim b'divra ha'inyan zeh v'sim libcha bo. And now he gives his little his endorsement. It says v'hishvuhu l'divrei kol misha diber bo u'bochar la'atzmacha asatov. Okay, he doesn't want to slant your you know. He doesn't want to take away your free choice here. But look, listen to what I have to say here. Listen to what everyone else has to say, and make the right choice. So who? Sheparo v'avodav ilu lo hoya lehem avon elazeh. Yeah. Shelo sholchu es Yisrael. If the only chait that Paro and his servants had was that they didn't release the Jews, then it would be very, very difficult to understand. Because God is not letting them send the Jews. So if the only onus that they're receiving is for not allowing the Jews to leave, and Hashem is preventing them from allowing that from making that choice. V'achakach mevakish min l'shalcham v'umuchach shul l'shalach. And Moshe goes and says, "Send them," and they simply cannot do that. And then they are punished for not sending them. That would vaday. That would definitely be ovel. That would definitely be unjust, and it would be so sir everything that we've said up to this point. Okay, Ela Sheina Dover Kane. That's not the way it was. Rather, Paro and his servants were rebellious. Homru Biritzonam. They made the bad choice freely, without any hechrich or force. And they were evil to the Gerim that were in their land, and they did to them absolute evil. Absolute, they treated them absolutely unfairly and deplorably. Kamoshin Omar Beferish Vayomra El Amo Hine Ambene Israel Havanis Chakmalo. So it was on his own initiative to treat them badly. It was on his own initiative to be evil. That they did freely with their own from their own evil thoughts. And nothing forced them. And this is the idea, Hayonash Hashem Lohem al Kach, that was what they were punished for. Shemonom mina tshuva, they were prevented from doing tshuva in order to bring upon them the onesh, Shechayev Tzidko Shezehu Onsham. They had to have the onesh that God's justice demanded. And that was Umini'asam min ha'teshuva hu shelo yishalchum. They prevented them from tshuva so that they shouldn't send the Jews, so that they could get the onesh that they had rightfully earned prior to that.
That's astounding, because Moshe was conveying the will of God, demonstrated that he had the nevuah multiple times, and his only request was to let them go.
Right.
So he's saying that they could have gone against a blatant nevuah Hashem that was demonstrated over and over and over again, and they wouldn't have been punished for just going against God's will. I mean, God is revealing himself.
You mean, why did he send them to? Why did he send Moshe to tell them to go? Or
saying the way God instructed.
If they wouldn't, if they would have had their bechira, right, they would have let the Jews go. And then they would not have gotten the onesh of being destroyed in the Yam.
I'm questioning the statement that he said that if it was...
It's an interesting point you guys making, that
It doesn't seem that not letting them go for the first five times justified all that onus. He's saying it was the treatment that they had given them up until that point. Can't expect the guy just to let people go right away.
The mockers were
no, no. The punishment that they were kept alive for was the Niyam. All right, well, we'll have to continue this another time.